Let's just say amen again. I don't know if you realize, but that song is good news. It doesn't matter how you receive that knowledge that Christ loves you. It's good news to know that God loves you. Anybody ever felt like they were not loved? But here's something to take home with you and share with somebody who may feel that way. Jesus loves you. Independent of your behavior, independent of your acts, he loves you. If you have your Bibles, you turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. We'll begin our reading at the 10th verse. But while you're getting that, giving unto God the Father, to Jesus the Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us, to our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger. Amen. Amen. To our first and only lady, Sister Stinger, to my lovely wife, Sheila, to all the officials here, our fellow sufferers on the gospel, on the yards, and those who may be in the congregation, our deacon, our deaconess, our trustees, our singers, our choir, amen, our choirs and our musicians, amen, doing a wonderful job. To our young folk, amen, they are just absolutely showing up and growing up and showing out, amen. I just love to see the young people when they behave the way they behave. That young man who read the announcement, man, he tickled me so bad, I almost started to say amen on announcement. Who says amen on announcement? I mean, he was just smooth with it, amen. Amen. I love that suave in church. Ain't nothing wrong with it, amen. I mean, amen. James just come up here and sing it just like he did. Y'all clap with me. Get some of this. You're going to miss out if you don't get your hands together. Amen, amen. Cayenne, amen. It's just beautiful. All our young people are doing such a marvelous job. And our youth workers are just out there doing things. Amen. You know, I'm very leery when it comes to assigning folks to young folk. You have to be very careful. But, you know, when I see what these young folks are doing, it's like, wow, this is so easy. Amen. They're doing such a great job. So God bless them. And God bless each of you, God's children. It's just good to be here. I see you back there, Roman. Roman's in the house. Amen. It's just good to be with you all. This passage of Scripture is a fairly easy passage. We've heard it and we've memorized it time and time again. But I want to pick up at the 10th verse to give some context to our text. Philippians 4, 10 through 13, and it reads from the King James Version. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. We come at this hour of worship to receive a word from you. You said in your word, you have sent forth your word into the earth, would not return unto you void. Lord, you give us your word, open my eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, so deep within the crevice of your cross or behind us, and none of me are seen, and only you and you get the glory. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As you begin to rest on your seat, why don't you say with me the topic for today? I thought to use the whole scripture just so we can remember the whole thing, but I shortened it up a little bit. So I said, I can through Christ. Amen. That's our text for today. I can through Christ. That's it. I can. Think about that. I can. Our young people, our theme today is I can, but I can through Christ. I can through. I remember when RJ was growing up. I guess that means he's grown now. When he was growing up, Jesus used to take him to Fairfax Brewster, and there was and they would go through a scripture during the day. And I was I had the luxury one morning to take him to school, and so we hit this curve, and he said, "Dad," I said, "What?" "This is when I do my scripture." Well, I didn't know their particular protocols. And I said, "Well, okay, let's do that. Do you need a Bible or anything?" He said, "No, this is my scripture." He started saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." And here it is. How old is he now? 26 years old. And he now has a business called 413 Health and Fitness. Amen. On the basis of I can do all things, yes, through Christ who strengthened me. What we feed our kids, what our kids pick up from us, they're taking it in, and we need to understand whether we're feeding them good, bad, or indifference, they're taking it in. And so we need to make sure we're feeding them the right thing. Is that right? Amen. I can through Christ. Tell yourself, self, I can through Christ. Now let me say this particular text has received some scrutiny, and I want to put some context, some historical context, just a little bit on this. This letter was written by Paul to Philippi from prison, from the jail cell. Now Paul did here. Key is Paul had was a founding pastor of this church. And this writing, he's talking to people who now, when he started the church, it was maybe just a few people, a handful by the riverbank. But now they have people from different origins, from Jewish origins, from Roman, Greeks, and they all have different backgrounds. They come from different cultures. They have different faiths, monotheistic and polytheistic. They have different economic and social statuses. They were servants and masters, small and large, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers. Regardless of where they were now a church. At Philippi. And see, when you get in a church, y'all know, anybody know about church? When you get in church, you get a little bit of everything and everybody in church. But he's writing now to the church. Now you have to understand that Paul he established the church maybe 8-9 years prior to this time period, and they had somehow laws, as indicated in the 10th verse, they had laws contact with Paul. You recall that they probably didn't have social media, Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram or iPhones back in that time. So they lost contact with Paul, and they didn't realize he had been arrested and was in prison. But when they found out that he was in prison, they sent a messenger to him with a care package. Did y'all hear what I say? When they discovered Paul, and so Paul here in our text, he's telling them, thank you for what they had done. He wants to assure them, no need for being concerned about you being so delayed in your response. I'm not mad at you because you took so long to get in contact with me. Some of us be mad if we didn't call you next Sunday. If you missed Sunday, if you missed today, you'd be mad because somebody didn't reach out to you by today. But he says it's been over 2 years, and Paul hadn't heard from anybody. But he's letting them know, I'm not concerned about that. So he tells them, look here. He said, I appreciate your gift. He said, you know how you receive a gift and somebody give you something. He said, thank you very very much, but you didn't have to. You know, he's saying, well, you really didn't have to. It's kind of odd, though, when you look at the way he presented this. It's like they brought him a messenger and then gave him a gift, and he's going, well, I don't really need it. But that's kind of the contentment that Paul had, and we should have as Christians to understand when we are so blessed, and whether we have or we don't have, we ought to be all right.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, whether someone said it correctly, if God does nothing else for me,
right.
He's already done enough. Said, so thank you. You didn't have to. So in our text, Paul seems to be saying, not that I have ever needed anything. I've learned in whatever state to be content. I know how to be full and how to be hungry. I know how to suffer need. I know how to have abundance. He said, I'm okay where I am. If you look at this text and we just look at it the way it's written, one would cause themselves just to be, to say the text is just talking about contentment. If you flip it around, as some commentators do, they flip it around and change the verse number 13 and put it before number 10, and it really looks like he's just saying, well, I'm content. I got everything I need, and I'm happy. But I think Paul wrote this the way he did for a reason. So I don't want to allow our in context to think takes things out of context. So when we look at it, I'm concerned that if we take it that way, we risk missing the total meaning, because Paul, I believe, he was expressing contentment without complacency and limitations. Some of us get content and we get complacent. Did y'all hear what I say? We get content and we just happy. Yeah, you ever seen just happy? I'm just happy to have a seat in the church. I ain't trying to do nothing. Y'all didn't see that coming, did you? I'm just happy they have air over there. I mean, I'm just so happy to be in the room. They got good lighting. You know, I'm just happy to be. I'm content. But Paul's not just talking about your contentment. He's not saying that I found a place where I know how to be full and be hungry, so I'm just content. No, Paul built a whole lot more churches after that, but he was content. But understand, when you're satisfied with Jesus, you understand, the question becomes, is Jesus satisfied with me? So when you compare yourself to him, you realize there's much more work to do. So Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The first thing I want to address is the I can. Me, myself, and I can. I can is a positive affirmation. It's an attitude. The first step in that, if you want to get to a place of commitment or conquest, you must take an introspective look at yourself, your attitude. You got to do what you just call it, an attitude check. Mm-hmm. Did y'all hear that? Does anybody need an attitude check? I remember we were at a youth, one of the things when we go up in the mountains, and they do this, just this thing. They say, attitude check, praise the Lord. So we, somebody would say, attitude check. And they yell, praise the Lord. Let's try it out. Is it attitude check? Praise the Lord. That's kind of dead. I mean, I know we didn't even get that one. So let's do it again. Attitude check? Praise the Lord. Y'all do better than that at the basketball game when Cleveland wins. Let's try it again. Attitude check?
Praise the Lord.
Attitude check? Attitude check. See, if you yell this loud enough, all of a sudden you get connected with what you're saying. Attitude check. See, we need to, every now and then, we just need to have an attitude check. I can is an attitude. It's a positive attitude, but it's not just, it doesn't matter whether you're an egoist or a narcissist, which says, what's in it for me? Or you're an altruist or a humanist, which you said, I'm just trying to help somebody. If I can help somebody as I pass on. Regardless of what you are, you need to take an introspective look at yourself. You need to know and be aware of who you are, physically, mentally, and spiritually. We need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Some of us in a place we need to understand, we think we are one thing, but we are another. The Bible tells us, in fact, the Bible encourages us that we need to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourself, whether you be in your faith. Prove your own selves. Matthew tells us in the 7th chapter, he said, why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye. He said, first you got to take a look at yourself. Take the beam out of your own eye. Isaiah tells us in 6:5, he said, woe is me. And Isaiah looked at himself, he said, woe is me. For I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people of unclean lips. We got to understand, you got to know who you are. The first thing that you need to do before you can ever change or do anything positive, you've got to know who you are. It's nothing worse than dealing with folks who don't know who they are. You a liar and don't know it. You a cheat and don't know it. How you going to fool yourself? Now, I got you fooling me. I got that. I mean, I got this thing how you know you can fool some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time. But how you going to fool you? You living with you and you are, you fooling you. The prodigal son, when he came to himself, he said, how many houses of my father have bread enough to spare? He said, but I perish with hunger. You got to stop and take a look at yourself and see where you look at yourself, examine yourself and understand who you are. We have a society that suffers from a disease of I can't titus. Y'all heard that disease? I can't titus. I can't titus. Y'all heard of I can't titus? It's I can't itis. I can't. I can't because I don't have enough money. I can't because I don't have enough time. I can't because I'm single, a parent. I can't because I'm a single lady and all is single. But anyway, I can't because I don't have a support group. I can't because I was born on the wrong side of the track. I can't because I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I can't because my family was poor. We couldn't even afford the ore and make it poor. I can't because God's, I can't put God first because I'm not ready to commit. I can't go to church because all the folks at church are sinners. I mean, you should. I'm just saying what people say. I can't because I have only one talent and so-and-so has two and such has five. We come up with some of the weirdest and lamest excuses to not do. God has given you all you need to do whatever he desired to do. In fact, if you really think about it, your desire stems from the fact that it is part of your destiny. What you have in you that's driving you to want to do that thing, young people, hear what I'm saying? When that's in you, that's driving you to that place that you don't believe you can arrive, is your destiny. But here's what I need to let you understand. Just because God said it would be there and he would provide it, did not say it was going to be easy. Let me read Hebrews 13:5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things that you have, for he that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God has given you everything you need. God has given you everything you need to succeed. He's given you everything you need to be the best you that you can be. You just got to step out and use what he's given you. Some of us have gotten discouraged distracted, detracted, and derailed because of what someone else said. Someone said, and as a result, I can't do it. Someone said, like, help me out. Someone said that you can't run. Y'all probably remember. Someone said you can't run a mile in less than 4 minutes. But Roger Bannister said I can and did in 1954. Someone said that you planes can't fly. But the Wright brother says airplanes can. And they did in 1903. Somebody said that the president can't be black. But Barack Obama said I can and did in 2004. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You follow a lot of this. There's a lot of folks that you're hearing information. They're telling you what you can't be, but you got to understand what you can be. I can. Attitude check. I'm just all I check it again. Just see where we are. It's important that you use what you have and be the best yourself. Be yourself. Be what you is. Can I do a little bit of bonus here? Be what you is, not what you ain't, because you is what you ain't. You ain't what you is. Sister Sam, her ears is burning up right now. Excuse me. Just want you to know I caught that. Be the best you that you can be. Douglas Mallock wrote a poem. He said, if you can't be a plant pine on top of the hill, be a shrub down in the valley, but be the best little shrub by the side of the hill, be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It's not by size that you win or fail. Be the best at whatever you are. You've got to learn to be the best you that you can be. Stop trying to imitate other folks.
That's right.
Do you understand that if you imitate, you can only be second best?
That's right.
But if you are yourself, you are an original.
Amen.
And as a result of that, you are number one.
Right.
God only made one, and he made you. There's no carbon copy of you. Now make them want to imitate, but never duplicate you. Y'all, does that make sense to you? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book, or preach a better sermon, make a better mousetrap than his neighbor, even if he build his house in the woods, the world will be the beaten path to his door. It doesn't matter where they pick up talent from everywhere. I've seen people on the NBA from places like Arkansas, Parkdale, and Hamburg. Y'all even know what Hamburg is. Y'all thought I said hamburger. That's like 18 miles from my home. You know, Scottie Pippen, that's what they call him, playing with Michael Jordan from Hamburg, Arkansas, down the street from me. How do you find somebody like that? Because it doesn't matter where you live. If you be the best you that you can be. Mama said, Grandma, you say that, but your gifts will make room for your son. You can quit drinking. You can stop gambling. You can stop lying. You can stop cheating. You can lose weight. You can get healthy. You can get your blood pressure down. You can start a business. You can write a book.
Amen.
You can help somebody.
Amen.
You can make A's. You can earn that degree. You can get promoted. You can be the one in charge. You can be the first member of your family to go to college. You can be the one that makes good out of the hood, and you may come straight out of Compton. You can be the one that God called you. You can be the best you that God has called you. You can be the best. You can beat depression. You follow me? You can beat those suicide thoughts. You can overcome bullying. You can. Every one of us has the power within us to change our world, if not the world itself. But too often we're looking for excuses, and we too often use God as the excuse. God has already given you all that you need, and you're sitting around asking him for something he's already given you. Somebody says, I want a car. Lord, give me a car. Lord, bless me with a car. Well, you got a job. Go to work. Reallocate your funds. Get your car. You're wasting God's time. He already made it possible for you.
Yes, sir.
Y'all follow me? Too often we're asking God to do stuff he's given for us to do. Lord, we need people to come to church. When the last time you asked somebody? When the last time you invited somebody to church? Y'all come on now. Y'all don't get quiet on me now because I get started and won't stop. We are asking God to do things he's already given us to do. We need to step outside of our comfort zone, push the envelope, shift the paradigm. We need to understand and be the best individual that we can be. Benjamin May said it this way. He said the tragedy of life is often not in our failures, but rather in our complacency, not in our not doing too much, but rather in us doing too little, not in living above our ability, but rather living below our capacities. We have the opportunity to do great things, but we are losing out because we're not even pushing ourselves to our place of discomfort. And where we need to go is where we have not been. I sound like a little show that we're going to go where no man has gone before. But that's the old car. That's the old show. Y'all, that's too old. Star Trek. Yeah, that's it. So the first thing is I need you to understand, young people, that I can. That I can. That you can. You can. But see, I need to think one step further because in the scripture doesn't stop with that you. Because there comes a point in life where you have to understand where your limited abilities are limited abilities. But here in our text is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I need to link us in with Christ because when you look at all that we've said about what you can, your greatest accomplishment will come in the second part of verse 13, that is through Christ. We need to consider ourselves in light of our task, our job, our responsibility that's set before us. We need to understand that if you have a Honda money, don't get a Mercedes. Otherwise, it become Mercy. These bills are killing me. Or a BMW, or it'll become, oh, brother, man, why did I do this? There's a thin line between faith and foolishness. We got to look at ourselves and evaluate whether we have what it takes. Luke tells us in the 14th chapter, 28th verse, he said, "But which of you intend to build a tower, sitting not down first and count up the cost? At least half of you, after you begin to build, they begin to mock him, say, this man started to build, but didn't have sufficient to finish it. Or which king going to fight somebody doesn't consider whether he can go with 20,000 or 10,000 for him to come after him with 20,000. You got to understand, you're going to go in a fight without knowing that you can win. I never did that. I never did that. My assessment may have been off a little bit. There may have been some unknowns I discovered. Maybe the reach that I didn't, know about. Like I once remember going into a boxing mat, or the slippery floor, I'm still standing by that. I went to do a little boxing, my first time putting on a pair of boxing gloves, and I went up my cousin Ben, who I could take any other day, but he's taller, bigger, and stronger, but I could take him. I'm faster, I said. And so we went up to do the boxing thing, and the arm reach caught me a little bit by surprise, and I slipped. To this day, I slipped, and I didn't know the floor was so slippery. I didn't have all the details of what was going to take place, and nobody told me because I took my shoes off, and that's so I slipped. He didn't hurt me. The punch that went all that hard. I'm like, he knocked me out. You know what I mean? I slipped. That's the story, y'all. That's what we're going to tell, all right? We got to consider, assess what we're stepping into before we get into it. Because you understand when you've got to know when I can is inappropriate or not applicable. You got to understand when Ezekiel, like we talked to you last time about Ezekiel, when he was at Valley of Bones, the Lord said to him, can these bones live? Ezekiel knew that his I can was not sufficient for these bones. So he turned it over to the Lord. What am I saying? We got to understand when it comes a point in our life where we got to turn what we have over away from ourselves and put it in God's hand. Let me go one step further and say, I would submit to you and suggest to you that you not wait until you hit your point of limitation, but that you take all that you have and put it in God's hand anyway. And won't you start with that? What if we just start with that as a premise? If you start taking what you have and put it in God's hand, because if you start with that place, then you'll find yourself being successful and you won't even know why. There's a parable in the Luke the 9th chapter, 10th verse, and Matthew the 14th chapter and 13th verse, and Mark the 6th chapter and 6th verse, and John the 6th chapter and 31st verse, which suggests to me that they all had to, this must have been important, because this is the parable, you all remember the two fish and the five loaves. But in Matthew and Luke, he talks about them, the apostles, they had went away privately into the desert place because now they had been out in the street and they had been given the word of God, and the people followed them wherever they went. And so Jesus pulled them aside so that they could have some time to spend with the disciples. But they heard that he was leaving, so they all surrounded him and followed them into the desert place. When Jesus saw them coming, he decided to give them a word. Well, as the day began to draw near, the 12 disciples went to the master and said, we're in a desert place, first of all, and these people are hungry, and we have nothing to give them to eat. He said, they said, why don't you let church out early and let them go to the store so they can buy some food and get them, because there's more than 5,000 here. And Jesus said, well, what do we have in our midst? He said, we got two fish, sis, and five loaves. And we got 5,000 men. That's not talking about the women and children. He said, he does something really hard to this, because the disciples, what they did was they assessed their situation.
Come on, sir. Come on.
They looked around and they decided, we're in a desert place. We have five loaves, two fish, and a hungry crowd of over 5,000. Now, anybody who's done any level of math or logic or thinking at all would know that you cannot feed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. Now, somebody's going to come up short. My cousin Gwen could take a piece of gum, I'm talking regular stick of gum, and she could feed 10 people and everybody get a taste. Now, you don't get a chew, you get a taste, but somehow she could stretch it where everybody got a little bit. But then, and then what she do, she come back to you and say, you remember last time I gave you a stick of my gum? No, I don't remember the stick, but I do remember the taste. But she would want a whole separate story. I'm saying, even with Gwen's ability to be able to take a piece of gum and stretch it to 10, she couldn't have taken two fish and five loaves and fed 5,000. She has some skills, but nobody has those. The disciples said, we don't have the money. We don't have the food to feed these. So, Lord, I mean, it's getting late in the evening and the sun is going down. Why don't you send them home and let them go home and get themselves, let them go to the store and buy something before. That seemed logical, doesn't it? They considered themselves and they realized their I can didn't meet the requirement of the task. Jesus says, sit him down, have him sit down. Now y'all want to go with me and get to be a disciple for a minute? Have him sit down. Did you hear what we just said? It's 5,000 of them and they hungry. It's kind of, we on break now. It's kind of time to eat. You want to sit down. And for what? Did anybody get that?
Yes, sir.
He said, okay, sit down. He said, well, okay, here's what I love about the disciples. They had been with Jesus long enough to know that when he says do something, it may be worthwhile that they do it. Mm-hmm. Let me go back just a little bit, because, see, if you just have an I can attitude, you will never see the results or the action if you don't connect Jesus with it. But when you connect the Lord with it, the Lord has a way of transitioning from just an I can, but the I can do through Christ. They're here in this desert place, and Jesus is telling them, have them sit down, and we're going to give them something to eat. So the disciples in their obedience, so the first order of business, what I want you to do is, in your I can, if you want to do this, is first order of business is follow, do what Jesus says. When the Lord tells you to do something, do it. If he says start a business, start it. If he says go and witness, witness. If he says speak a word, speak a word. If he says sit down and shut up, sit down and y'all got it. Huh? Whatever he said, because whenever he says do something, there's something he has behind. And even though the task may seem impossible, just do what he says, because he is true to his word. So he had them sit down, and when they had sat down, when the disciples sat, they followed his lead when they had sat them down. Then all of a sudden Jesus said, okay, give me what you have. Give me what you have, the two fish and the five loaves. He took the two fish, and they did. They took their possession that they have, and they gave it to Christ, the two fish, the five loaves, and he blessed it, and he gave it back to them. Did y'all hear what I say? That's important to know, because sometimes we have to understand that what we have is not as strong or as good as it could be unless God puts his hand on it.
Amen.
But when God puts his hand, little become much. When you place it in the master's hand, the difference was in the outcome was not in the disciples' abilities, but in their surrendering. What the disciples did, they surrendered all that they had to the Lord. It wasn't because that they were being obedient. It wasn't because of their possession. It wasn't because they looked so good or were so fine. It was because they surrendered what they had and they were obedient to God. They gave themselves and they gave their goods to the Lord. How do I know it? Because they gave themselves. They said, Lord, what do you have us do? He said, well, go and hand it out. And they took the goods they had, they gave it to him, he blessed them, he gave it back to them, and they handed it out. When you take what you have and give it to God, God can extend. You've been struggling on things you have no business struggling on. You've been trying to figure it out. You've been saying, I can. You've been using PMA, positive attitude. You've been using affirmation and talking to yourself and in the mirror and pumping yourself up in the morning time, trying to get there, and it ain't quite working. Because it's not just about word, but if you connect what you have and give it to God. Anybody ever took something that they had and put it on the altar and left it? I ain't talking about you go back and pick it up because too often, if he ain't moved in about five, you know, I give him, I'll be asking about five minutes. And if he ain't answered in about 5 minutes, I got to go get it myself. See, but if we just give it to God and leave it in his hand, he'll take whatever that is and he'll work it out. Somebody say, he may not come when you want him, but I've never known him to be late. He's always on time. That's the kind of God that we serve. So he may not come in your time, but he'll come on time. Paul said, I had experience in our text. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am dealt with to be content. I've learned through my experience with the Lord that I don't need to rush him because I know God is going to do just what he said. I've learned how to be full and I know how to be hungry. I know that there's a lesson in either one of those places. See, too often we want to be comfortable and we want to have everything at our disposal. But do you realize that there's a lesson in struggle? He says, if you want to ring with me, you got to suffer. Anybody ever gone through something and learned as a result of their struggle? Sometimes you got to go through something to be able to get to the I can, you got to have done. I did. I struggled. Some of our lesson that we would share with people is a feel, felt, found. I know how you feel. I felt that way because this is what I found. You got to go through something. You can't tell folks something that you haven't experienced yourself. Jesus would not be an efficient Savior if he had not gone through what we've gone through. Amen. He went through everything like we did, and yet he did it without sin. And as a result of that, he's a good example of what we can follow. We've got to understand we're going to go through some things, but it's all right to go through in order to get to I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I said I can do all things through Christ. I'm going through, but I can do all things through Christ. Now, how do I get there? Well, Paul said, well, here's how I'm going to get there. He said, I'm going to get there by faith. See, you got to understand your outcome. He said, I may not know the outcome, but I going in, but I know how it's going to turn out. I know I'm coming out. I may not know the outcome, but I know I'm coming out. I've been here before. He said, I learned. He said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I've been here before. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about what you see with your natural eye. We got to understand we got to see past what we're going through in order to see what we're going to. You may be in the valley, but you're not there to stay. The problem is some of us take up residence in the valley. We act like this is the end of the road. When we're gone to the end of the road. That's the wrong song. That's the wrong one. I know. We act like we already were at the end of the road, at the end of the destiny. God said, this is just, you're just going through a transition. I've got to get you to go through the valley in order to get to the other side. There's no other way to get there but through the valley. So you got to go through the valley. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you may not be able to see it with your natural eye, but God is still working out. You just got to trust God that he's working out. It will take your faith. It will take your belief. You know, when you're going through something, when you're being lied on, talked about, called everything, when it's dark and it's gloomy, when things are not going your way, when money is tight, bills low, well, it takes a faith in God to be able to believe that all things work together for the good of the Lord. Those who love the Lord. Amen. You got to understand that. It's easy when everything is going all right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To trust him or we don't even trust him when it's going all right. We just don't need him. But when we need him, it's a little bit harder when we're going through something that we need him to trust him when things are not going our way. How many of us have relied on God? Don't raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. Rely on God when things are hard. Or we take the alternative, we start to try to work it out by ourselves. We got to understand, young people, when you take what you have and put it in God's hand, little become much when you place it in the master's hand. God will take your can't and drop the T. Amen. Did y'all hear what I said? Or he'll redefine the T, and the test will not be only a test, it'll be a testimony, the trial will be a trial. You got to understand, God will then change up the dynamic. Don't take my word for it. Talk to Moses. Moses will tell you, he came to me and he asked me to lead his people. And I said, well, I can't speak well. God got so irritated with Moses on the mountain. He was there talking to a bush. Yes, sir. Talking to a bush. Fussing with a bush. Talking about he can't do something. God got so irritated with him. He said, well, all right. I'll let your brother do it. That's right. Get Aaron. Okay, then, fine. We'll do this because you're still doing it. Y'all following? When God has something for you to do, God has something for you to do. He may modify because of your stubbornness, but God will get you there if you're willing to surrender. So Moses said, Lord, I know, but I don't know about, I can't speak well. Okay, then I'll take care of that problem. And he's still complaining. But God sent Moses, and Moses, as a result of going, look at the story of Moses, what happened once Moses decided to obey and do what God said. He delivered the children of Israel in an incredible way because he began to rely on God. I heard him one day, he had a rod in his hand. He said, well, I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord. He said, well, what am I going to tell him? I said, well, tell him I am sent. He said, well, they They're going to want to know who sent me. He said, tell I am. He said, they're going to want to know. He said, I'm telling you, tell them I am. Sent you. Because I am that I am. He said, why I am? Because I love the way he says I am. Because I'm not telling you specifically who I am. Because I am. I'm water if you need water. I'm food if you need food. I'm shelter if you need shelter. I'm a trust. I need hope if you need hope. I'm a loved one if you need. I'm whatever you need. I am that I am. So whatever you need, church, I come to let you know, like Moses said, I am that I am. I saw Moses one day getting ready to go, and he had this rod. And how God said to Moses, he said, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, it's just a rod. That's all it is, Moses. It's just a rod. He says, take the rod, cast it down. In other words, give me the rod. He said, when he cast it down, it's turned to the serpent. You can imagine how that would happen had it been me. I left the snake in the message. But Moses there, and then the Lord said to Moses, he said, okay, now I've did what I need to do with it. Now here's what you do. You pick it up. Get you by the tail, though. It's still a snake. When he picked it up by the tail, all of a sudden it became a rod in his hand again. Now, what was the difference in that rod before and after? Well, there was is the same rod, but now God had his hands now on the rod. See, before it was just a rod. But when he gave it and put it in God's hand, I hope y'all see this. I hope y'all see this. This same rod now that he had given to God, he found himself at the Red Sea. And the sea was down and it was closed up and they needed to get to the other side. But they couldn't swim to the other side. It's too many. They couldn't swim. They had the stuff that they were traveling out of Egypt. And he said, well, he took that rod. He set the rod on the sea and the water congealed on both sides. Yes, sir. Nothing but a rod. But this time that rod that he had been acting on by God. Church, when you give what you have to God, God will take that little that you have. He'll transform it. That little money that you have, you thought it was just a little money, but it'll go some. For some reason, it just seemed to go a lot further. You ever had a little bit more, but for some reason that little bit more didn't last that long? You know, you got a nice little check, got a little bonus or something like that, and then all of a sudden you wonder, what happened to my bonus? You ever broke a $100 bill? I don't know, you can't break. Who breaks a hundred? How do you break a hundred? I ain't never seen a $100 bill broke yet, but let's go with the story. You ever broke a $100 bill and all of a sudden you realize it just kind of started to disappear? As long as you keep it solid, it's good. You can hold on to it a long time, but as soon as that thing get broke, as soon as you break it, I don't know how you break it, but as soon as you break it, all of a sudden it just goes out, just goes that way. If you take what you have and give it to God, he will keep it in a solid state of affair. You won't lose. And he said, in fact, what I'll do is that if you give it to me, I'll bless you in such a way, it'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not just pressed down, but shaken together. I want to make it real. Anybody know about how I like ice cream? I take my ice cream serious. I'll take a cup, and I'll take it, and I'll start to put the ice cream in the container. Now, I want to make sure that there are no air pockets, because I don't want to have any problem with those air pockets in my body. So I lock it down real tight. I press it down, shake it together. Then I run it over. The God that we serve, he said, I want to do something special for you, but you got to give me what you have and let me take what you have so I can press it down, I can shake it together, and I can run. Now, Gideon, can you help me? Gideon was hiding out and threshing. He was in a barrel, threshing some wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And then the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, he called him by, he said, mighty man of valor. Right. Now, wait a minute. Here's this man hiding. Threshing wheat away from folks in a barn somewhere. And this angel comes to him and calls him a mighty man of valor. See, some of you sitting here today are mighty men and women of valor, but you're hiding. And the angel is coming already announced your name, but you're hiding. I want you to know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Gideon said, well, they want me to do what? No, I don't believe the Lord said that. I don't believe the Lord said it. How I know this? I'm like, y'all might make it plain. I don't believe the Lord said it. We now don't believe he said it. Well, I tell you what you do. If the Lord said it, all right, I'm going to go to bed tonight. That thing, that carpet down there, what I want to do is I want you to make it wet and the ground dry. All right, and if you do, if he does that, then I'm good. Got up next morning just like he requested. So, well, now, I don't know about all that. That looked pretty good, but I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's try this again. I'll tell you what to do. Tonight, well, you make the carpet wet and the ground dry. Then you got me. And then, sure enough, the next day, ain't nothing wrong with fleecing. We call it fleecing the Lord. Uh-huh. It's nothing wrong with getting comfortable with what God's telling you to do. But when God gets you comfortable, you need to be about the business of doing what he said. Gideon decided he would go ahead and obey God's word and go against the Midianites. So he thought he had a fight on his hand. But you got to understand, when God's sending you, he's not going to let you fight. He just needs a representative. So Gideon, he goes out. The fight is already over before the fight got started. We're on a winning team, church. You got to understand, we're more than, somebody said it correctly, we're more than conquerors. We're not on a losing team. We're more than conquerors. So he goes out to fight against the Midianite. He goes out. First of all, he got to figure out how many people are going to go. He starts to narrow down the numbers, and he gets the numbers down. He starts out with a large number, but he said 10,000. Then he breaks it down, loses 97, and finally gets down to a number, 22,000. Then he gets down to a number of 300. Start with 32,000, gets down to 22,000, then 10,000, then 9,700. Then he's got 3,000 people left, 300 people left to go and fight against the Midianites. That's why I was asking the question in the first place. That would make me think that, wait a minute, maybe I need to go back and fleece him one more time. But he said, I'll go and do what you said. And they took 300 men to fight against an army. And they never lifted a weapon. All they took were lamps in their hand and horns. And when they got to the fight was already open. That's the way God does. God will give you more than you ask if you just depend and give him what he asked. David never suffered from this issue of I can't either. David was more I can. David was a young man. He was rooted. He was cute little boy. He just believed he could do it. Y'all know it. Some of y'all know somebody like that. Some of our young people like that. I look at a couple of them and they like, yeah, they can do whatever. He's like, you ask them, they got it. They got it. And David just felt like he could do anything. And so when he looked out and saw the armies of God fighting against, and he said, wait a minute, what y'all running scared about? Mm-hmm. Don't you know you can't defy the armies of the living God? He said, David said, I'll go. I got my slingshot and I got my five stones. He went out against Goliath with confidence, knowing that he could, and he fought against Goliath and he won because he said, I can. Through Christ. He didn't say I by myself. He said, but I had experience with the Lord. I have learned that the Lord would never leave me. I learned because there was a bear came up one time. I took him down. Y'all follow me? If you just put yours in God's hand, God will tell you, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you don't believe that, just begin to read God's word, and he will show you in his word, and he will show you in your life that he's already done. Some of you are sitting on God's experiences right now. Amen. They said you wouldn't make it. They said you wouldn't be here today. Who are they? But you're still holding on. Amen. You're still here today. You're still here today because God said, and that's it. God said it, and that settles it, whether they believe it or not. I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you have need to, I come by, I stop by on my way to heaven to encourage some of you today, let you know that you can do all things through Christ. So I encourage you to do the I can. Sometime when you're down, I want you to just say, I can. Attitude check. Attitude check. When your back is up against the wall, just say, I can. When your friends have failed the true test of friendship, just say, I can. When life has dealt you a lemon and you can't make lemonade, just say, I can. When life has dealt you a bad hand, you ought to just throw up your hand and say, I can. When money is high and bills are low, high and due, you need to just say, I can. When you've tried everything and everything has failed, you need to say, I can. When you've exhaled and inhaled, exhaled and inhaled, exhaled and inhaled, exhaled and inhaled, and exhaled and inhaled, just say, I can. When your ship has come in and departed without you, just say, I can. When the doctor's turned and shakes his head and you just say, I can. When your body is aching with pain and you try lanacane, you just say, I can. When your pillow is wet with tears, you just say, I can. He may not come when you want him to, but I already said he's always on time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I heard Isaiah say, they shall mount with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not. I know it's hard sometimes, money and man and market, but the good thing, if you're acting on to God's word and you hold on to God's word, you hold on to the idea that it's not going to always be this way. Soon this we're going to do, we're going to be, soon I will be done with the troubles of this world. Y'all heard what he said. He said, soon I will be done with the troubles of the world because I can. I know God is going to allow me to get to my destination, and I'm going to a place where it's always howdy, howdy. and no more goodbye. I'm going to a place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary shall be at rest, where there's no more sickness and no more sadness and no more sorrow. I'm going to a place where they're going to stick my swords in the sand of time and study war no more. I'm going to a place where it's always Sunday and the Sabbath will have no end. I'm going to a place where the streets are paved with gold. I'm going to a place there's no need for the moon. There's no need for the sun. There's no need for the stars, but the sun will be on display. The S-O-N will be on display. I'm going to a place where there's going to be a convention of the saints, that the 12 tribes are going to be there. And that's okay to see the 12 tribes, but I see that there's going to be the these are they crowd. These are they who've gone through some, who come through some. I'm going to be in them. I can hear somebody say, when I get there, I'm going to tell them how you treated me. I'm going to tell them how you lied on me. I'm going to tell them how you talked about me. I'm going to tell them how you called me everything but a child. Somebody will brag about how they shook the devil off and how they went to the enemy camp and took back what he stole from them. They're going to talk about how they put Satan under their feet. Somebody going to start to complain about how they were mistreated. But when I get there, I just want to hear them say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You fought a good fight. It wasn't a great fight. It was just a fight, a good fight. You know, it was an I can fight. That, you know what I can fight is? I can fight is most of the time God had to step in and help me win. I can fight. Said sometime I was up, sometime I was down, sometime I was level to the ground, but God stepped in. This I can fight was he had to look way down and pick me up. That's what Jesus did. It's an I can fight. When I get there, I just want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You fought a good fight. You fought an okay fight, but you're here. I can do all things, church. I don't know where you are, but I want to encourage you today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Say with me, I can. I can. Elections were won with I can. I remember some years ago hearing Jesse Jackson in an airport on television saying, I am somebody. I am somebody. In the crowd, he would get the crowd motivated around the service, the phrase, I am somebody. Then President Obama came and said, we can. Straight out of scripture, I can. What would be lovely if us, we as Christians, would adopt a philosophy of I can. Not looking at what we can't do. See, because if you realize what you can do and do what you can, God will take care of the rest. But we're putting in God's hand what God has put in our hands. He gave it to us for the purpose of using it. And we are squandering it and not doing what he said. I say we do the opposite. We can be full as a house. We can be rich as a church. My father's rich in houses and land. All this belongs to him. He's given it to us. Are we going to claim it? I extend an invitation today. If there's someone here who does not know the Lord and upon their sin, I encourage you to come. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me encourage you today that if you don't know him, you cannot be the best you that you can be. The prodigal son we mentioned earlier, when he came to himself, until you know who Christ is, you'll never come to yourself. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? I don't know where you are in your life, but I tell you, when I came to myself, I said, man, I wasted a whole lot of time. When I came to myself, I started to realize the things that I was struggling with, God had already provided an answer. I thought I had a problem, he had an answer. I thought I had a challenge, he had a solution. I realized that I waited. The only thing I did wrong was stay a sinner too long. If you're here today, let that be your story today. If you're here, I extend an invitation to you. Come. Don't look at anybody else. What I've learned is nobody here, nobody anywhere has a heaven or a hell to put you in. And if they had a heaven, they lock the door and keep you out anyway. So the only chance you have is going to the other place. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. If you're here, this is your time. If you're here and maybe you're looking for a church home to use the gift God has given you. The harvest is plenteous, the labor is approved. a few. We need more workers. We need more laborers. If you're here, I invite you to come as well. If you're not saved, come. If you need a church home, come. There's work to be done, and we welcome you to be a part of the team. We're on God's team, a winning team. Come on. Yeah, y'all can move with that. Y'all go ahead. Get a little bit of left to right on that. Yeah. I'm going to work with you for a minute because I'm going to get that stiffness off of you. We're going to shake it loose. We're going to shake the devil off. We're going to, yeah, y'all, step on him. Step on him. Yeah. Come on. Let's move to side to side. Let's go. Let's go. All right. I'll call y'all if you don't do it too. Yeah. Yeah. Put some attitude in there. Some attitude. Yeah. Dive. How great is it? How great is our God? Come on now. Come on. Come on. If your neighbor's not moving, move your neighbor. How great is our God? How great is our God? My heart will sing, how great is our God. Doesn't that feel better? Doesn't that feel better? Doesn't that feel better? How great is our God? See with me how great is our God. How great is our God. Is our God. How great. Amen. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great are you as a result of the God that you serve? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Young people, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now say it loud so everybody can hear you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, make that the motto and make your parents say it to you in the morning time and then build your business. Amen. Amen, Pastor.
God bless you.
All right, with nothing, all minds and hearts are clear. We thank the pastor for the opportunity here, and we know that God is blessing him and blessing us with his vision. So let us go in peace and go in love. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of this Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide within upon each of us until we meet again on these or some other hallowed ground. Lord, let us go from here knowing that we are in you, and as a result of that, we can say with authority, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. The church responded by singing with the choir. Say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.